This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we will continue with our study of the beautiful names of Allah the Exalted. And today, inshallah, we will begin with the name of Allah, Al-Azim. Al-Azim, the one who is truly great, the ever great. The name of Allah, Al-Azim, occurs 9 times in the Qur'an. We have this name in Ayatul Kursi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. That taking care of guarding the heavens and the earth is something that does not tire him. It is not something that exhausts him. And he is Al-Ali, the one who is ever high, and he is Al-Azim, the one who is ever great. In Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ. That glorify, meaning Allah, by the name of your Lord, Al-Azim. So the name Al-Azim occurs 9 times in the Qur'an. And the name Al-Azim is derived from the word عَظَمَةً. Alim is the one who is attributed with alama. And the structure, the form alim, fa'il, denotes hyperbole, meaning the one who is very, very great, the one who is truly great, the one who is always attributed with greatness. So what exactly does this word Azama, or greatness, mean in Arabic? Now, when we look at the word azama, we see that linguistically, the verb azuma is used to describe someone who has big bones. Because you see, when someone has big bones, it means that their structure is big, right? From the same root is used for bones as well. So the verb denotes greatness or largeness in size, and it also means to be great in someone's estimation, meaning when someone thinks highly of another, when someone judges or realizes that someone is truly great, in their status, in their power, in their rank, in their position, etc. So Alama is the opposite of smallness, meaning it is greatness, right? So Alim is someone who is great and also someone who is regarded as great by others. Now, this is the linguistic meaning of the word Alim. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Alim, then what does it mean with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? With regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name Alim means, first of all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly ever great, meaning his greatness is absolute. His azamah is tammah, and it is kamila. Tammah meaning it is complete, kamila meaning it is absolute. So he is absolutely, truly great. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions several times in the Quran. In Surah Ash-Shura, ayah number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. To him belongs whatever that is in the skies and whatever that is in the earth. And he is Al-Ali, the ever high. He is Al-Azim, the ever great. And the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْ فَوْقِهِنَّ. That the seven heavens, the seven layers of the skies, they would rupture, they would break apart. And the Mufassirun said that they would break apart. Why? Out of the fear of the greatness of Allah. Because they are in awe of the greatness of Allah. So just imagine how vast the sky is. And this is just the sky that we see. Above that are six more skies. And the length and breadth and the size of those skies is something that is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning how massive is the sky. And yet all of them would break apart out of awe of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is truly ever great, and His greatness is absolute. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Azim, this also means that He is great in all of His attributes, meaning He is far beyond any comparison or likeness to His creation. So He is incomparably great. He is attributed with every attribute of perfection in the greatest sense. So when it comes to His knowledge is perfect. When it comes to His qudra, His ability is perfect. And we see so many references in the Quran which point to the greatness and perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. We have, for example, in Surah Az-Zumar, ayah number 67, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. That people don't realize how truly great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And the fact is that the entire earth will be in His grasp on the Day of Judgment. And all of the skies are going to be rolled up in His hand, in His right hand. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly great, that the skies and the earth, the entire existence that we know of, is what? It's rolled up in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand. Yani it is nothing before Allah azza wa jal. This is how great Allah is. When it comes to the throne of Allah, the arsh of Allah, the kursi of Allah, yani even they are so great. Wasi'a kursiyyuhu samawati wal ard. Right? That His kursi, it has contained within itself, meaning it is so vast that the skies and the earth would be just something tiny before it. And His arsh is even greater. Allahu la ilaha illahu rabbul arshil azim. He is the Lord of the great throne. And we learn in a hadith that the seven skies before the kursi are just like a ring in a desert. Yani, this is how insignificant we are, the skies and the earth are, compared to the kursi of Allah. Now imagine how tiny we are, how insignificant we are before the arsh of Allah. Then what do you think? What are we before Allah? Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great beyond our imagination. We learn that His wajh, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's face, is also great. In a hadith mentioned in Muwatta of Imam Malik, we learn about Ka'b al-Ahbar radiallahu anhu, who said that if it wasn't for certain words which I said, I would have been turned into a donkey by certain people who have been trying to do magic on me. So he was asked that, what are those words which you used to protect yourself? And he recited those words, and these words are, A'udhu biwajhi Allahi al-Azim. This is how they begin. A'udhu biwajhi Allahi al-Azim. I seek refuge in the face of Allah. The face of Allah, which is al-Azim, truly great, ever great. Alladhi laysa shay'un a'zama minhu. Allah is such that there is nothing greater than Him. And the dua continues. But he sought refuge in the greatness of Allah, in the greatness of the face of Allah. So remember that all of the attributes of Allah are truly great. When it comes to the speech of Allah, the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, even that is great. It is described as wal Quran al-Azim, the great Quran. So the fact is that we are not capable of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves, because He is greater than what we could ever say to praise Him. His greatness is something that cannot be captured with words. Allah is truly Al-Azim. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, "La uhsi thana'an alayk." I am not capable of enumerating your praises. Yani, what is that number which you can use to say that I praise Allah this many times? Because no matter how many times you praise and glorify Allah, no matter what words you use to praise and glorify Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than that. And He deserves even more. La uhsi thana'an alayk, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim, meaning He is truly ever great. His greatness is absolute, and He is incomparably great in all of His attributes. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim, this also means that He is esteemed as ever great by His slaves, meaning the slaves of Allah, the worshippers of Allah, who love Allah, who know Allah, then their hearts are filled with awe of Allah. Yani, they realize how truly great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So He is the one who is glorified for His greatness. We see that the angels, they continue to glorify Him. They continue to praise Him. And then we see that the righteous also, they continue to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They realize that no matter what they do, it is never enough. No matter how they praise Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves even more, because His greatness is beyond our reach. And we cannot even praise Him enough. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim, this also means that He is the source of greatness, meaning all greatness comes from Him. So if any creature has any kind of greatness, and this could be in the tangible sense or in the intangible sense, any kind or form in great of greatness, then remember that that greatness has been given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that greatness which the creation has is not absolute. It is very little. It's not even worthy of comparison, any, to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith we learn that whoever wants أن يعظم الله رزقه, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should make his rizq great. Whoever wants that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should expand his rizq, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should extend his life term, then what should that person do? فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِيمَهُ, that he should join ties of kinship. The fact is that greatness, whether it is in wealth or in one's life or in one's status, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to His slaves. This is not something that people can acquire on their own. And if someone has it, it has been granted to them by the one who is Al-Alim. Now, we see that the name of Allah Al-Alim, it is actually paired in the Quran with Al-Ali, meaning it is mentioned with the name of Allah Al-Ali. And as I mentioned earlier, Al-Ali means the one who is ever high, meaning he is above everything and everyone else. And Alim means that he is ever great, that everything and everyone is small before him. It is insignificant before him. So think, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ali and Al-Alim, he is the ever high and the ever great, then this means that everyone and everything is small before him, is below him, is beneath him. And he is the one who truly prevails. He is the one who is truly perfect and absolute in all of his attributes. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim, then how is it that we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is our share? First of all, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim, this means that we should be in awe of His greatness. Yani we should feel that smallness before Allah, and we should feel that greatness of Allah, and this should be reflected in the way that we think, in the way that we speak, in the way that we behave. We should really reflect in our lives that we know that there is a Lord who is perfectly great, and we are we are His creation. Because not recognizing the greatness of Allah is something that leads a person to arrogance. It leads a person to many wrong things. So we learn about people in hellfire that they are described as إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ, that he didn't used to believe in Allah who is Al-Azim. And this is a crime. Not believing in Allah who is Al-Azim, this is a crime. And it is foolishness. So we should be in awe of his greatness. We shouldn't just say that Allah is the greatest. Yes, of course we should say that. But along with that, we should feel that in our hearts. This realization and this belief, it should be reflected in our language, in our behavior, that no matter where we are, we realize the greatness of Allah. Because sometimes what happens is that, there are certain places where we are very obedient to Allah. And in other places, we start behaving like we don't even believe in a God. Astaghfirullah. We should not forget His greatness just because we are in certain places, just because we are surrounded with certain people. In Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 255, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ, that they cannot even encompass Him in knowledge except by what He wills. So we cannot even fathom the true extent of the greatness of Allah. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. So we should always reflect that, humility. And we should always be in awe of the greatness of Allah. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Azim, this means that we should believe in His absolute greatness. And what does that mean? This means that we should look at the creation the way it truly is. We should treat the creation or see the creation for what it truly is. The creation is imperfect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, He is Al-Azim, right? He is perfect. The creation is flawed. It is weak. It is small. It is limited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any of these weaknesses because He is truly ever great. So this means that the things that people say, right? The systems that people make, the laws that people make, the principles that people establish, right? All of them, yes, mashallah, awesome. However, they are the work of the creation. So we should never give them preference over the law of Allah, over the commands of Allah, over the facts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of. Sometimes what happens is that we are so impressed by the creation. We begin to trust the creation so much and fear the creation so much. And we place our hopes and expectations in them more than what they deserve. And we forget about the greatness of Allah. We forget about the perfection of Allah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Azim, we should believe in His absolute greatness. Well, our problem is that we begin to think that the creation is absolutely perfect. So if a human being has established a certain principle through some research or through some testing, then we think that that is absolute fact. And then we begin to give that preference over the word of Allah. If people have come up with a certain system of justice, then we think that that is absolutely perfect. And we think that the system of justice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established, that is flawed. Astaghfirullah. And you see the creation for what it truly is. It is not alim. It is weak. It is small. It is limited. It is imperfect. It is flawed. And we see this every now and then, that how great civilizations even, great countries even, any what happens to all of the great systems that they have established? We see them literally crumbling before our eyes. So see the creation for what it truly is. And because of that, never ever give preference to the creation over the creator. Because the creator is Al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is truly ever great. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Azim, this means that we should also show regard to his greatness. And like I mentioned earlier, it is not enough to just say Allah is great. We should show that we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. We should reflect that. How is it that we exhibit that? How is it that we show veneration and regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By showing respect to his speech, by honoring his word, by honoring his commands, and also the things that he has prohibited. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a command, then respecting that would be that we actually observe it, not that we ignore it. Showing respect to the prohibitions of Allah means that we stay away from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, not that we fall into them. Likewise, showing respect to the commands of Allah means that we take them seriously. You know, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. Do not take the verses of Allah in mockery. And do not take them non-seriously. That you choose some, you leave some, you do what suits you, you ignore what doesn't suit you, and you modify the commands of Allah in order to suit your selfish desires. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. In Surah Al-Hajj, ayah number 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. Look at the verb, يُعَظِّمْ, that whoever honors the sacred ordinances of Allah, whoever honors the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, the laws and the prohibitions that he has revealed, whoever honors them, then this is best for that person in the sight of his Lord. So when we honor the commands of Allah by observing them, then this is something that is good for us. Then showing regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also means showing regard to the symbols of Allah, to the sha'air of Allah. And what are the sha'air? Sha'air of Allah are the things, the places, the times, the actions, the rituals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for his religion. So for example, sometimes people will start making fun of the beard or they will start making fun of the adhan, or they will start making fun of the headscarf or the niqab, etc. This is disrespecting Allah, actually. In Surah Al-Hajj, ayah 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That whoever honors the symbols of Allah, for example, the Kaaba, right? Or the times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for certain acts of worship, then whoever honors them, then this is indeed from the piety of the hearts. And this really shows that this heart is pious, that this person has fear of Allah. Then showing regard to Allah, min ta'zeemillah, is to show regard to the righteous servants of Allah. That you show respect to Allah. How? By showing respect to the righteous servants of Allah. In a hadith, we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that inna min ijlalillah, that part of glorifying Allah is to show honor to a gray-haired Muslim, meaning a Muslim whose hair has become white in Islam. They have become old as a Muslim, to show respect to them. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes people are, especially the elders, they are looked down upon by people who are younger in the community. Why? Because, you know, perhaps their ideas are sort of outdated. They're still stuck in the past, etc. You can disagree with someone while being respectful with them. Honoring someone because of the fact that their hair has become white in Islam. They have been Muslim longer than you have been. Or at this age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the ability to be Muslim. This is something that is worthy of respect. And this is something that is part of showing respect to Allah. And the hadith continues, and showing honor to the bearer of the Quran. This is also part of honoring Allah, that you show honor to who? To the carrier of the Quran, Hamil al-Quran. And who is Hamil al-Quran? For example, someone who has memorized the Quran. Sometimes, your own sibling, right? Or your own child, maybe someone who is memorizing the Quran. They perhaps know more Quran than you. Treat them with respect. Treat them with due respect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the ability to carry the Quran in their memory. Right. So, yes, they are way younger than you. Yes, they are, you may think that you are better than them, whatever the case is, but they have the Quran. So you show respect to them because of that. And then the hadith continues, and also to show honor to a just ruler. Someone whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a certain status to, you accept that. And when you accept that, you honor that, then this is part of showing honor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim, He is truly ever great. This also means that we should be humble, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we should realize our smallness, our weakness. We should not go on, praising ourselves that, oh, I did this, I did that, I said this, I said that, and, everybody loves me, and I have these many likes, and have that many followers, etc., etc. Do not go on boasting, neither in your head nor with your tongue. Because this kind of arrogance and pride is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. Allah is the one who is truly great. And He is the one who deserves praise for His greatness. And if we think that we are something, right, and we start thinking that we are, we are great, then this is something that really brings us down in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith, we learn that if anyone behaves insolently, مَن تَعَظَّمَ فِي نَفْسِهِ, in his heart, in himself, he thinks that, I am something, I am great. Or, اختال في مشيته, that he walks with arrogance, right? And this is what happens when a person thinks that they're great, then that pride is reflected in the manner that a person carries themselves also. So whoever is like that will meet Allah, while Allah will be extremely angry with him. Allah will be angry with this person. Which person? The one who thinks very highly of himself, and the one who walks with pride. In another hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that pride is my cloak and greatness is my robe. Al-kibriya'u rida'i wal-'azamatu izari. And whoever competes with me in respect of either of them, I shall cast that person into hellfire. So we should be humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should never think very highly of ourselves, that we are the best, we know better, we are great, etc. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, this means that we should show humility before Him. We should exhibit humility before Him, visibly. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, and stand before Allah as qanitin, meaning as those who are humbly, devoutly obedient. So for example, in salah, when we're standing, we should check ourselves that how am I standing before Allah? Am I standing like a humble slave? Or am I standing like, you know, I've got too many things to do, I need to rush through this because I'm so busy? Am I standing like someone who is distracted, or like someone who is desperate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and mercy? Yani, we should check, how is it that we're standing before Allah? What is our posture like? Are we lowering ourselves? Where are our eyes going? Are we looking here and there? Where is our mind going? Are we thinking, you know, about different things? Are our thoughts wandering? And then during salah also, are we saying what we're saying, you know, quickly, without paying attention to the meaning of what we're saying, without really humbling ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is something that we need to pay attention to. So show humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you cry before, when you make dua to Allah, cry, right? When you're praying, show that weakness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim, He is truly great, this means that we should have great hope and great trust in Him also. In a hadith, we learned that the Prophet ﷺ said that when one of you makes dua, he should not say, "Oh Allah, forgive me if you want." No, this is not how you should make dua. The way you should make dua is with conviction, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Walakin liyazima al-mas'alata wal yu'azzima ar-raghbata," that a person should have great hope and show certitude, right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to give what I want. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, this is because فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَتَعَظَّمُهُ شَيْءٌ أَعْطَاهُ, because there is nothing, too big for Allah to give. Yani, don't think that it is too much to ask Allah to forgive you, or it is too much to ask Allah to give you, you know, what you are in need of. Why? Because to think like that is to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is weak. Astaghfirullah. And the fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim. He is truly great. His generosity is great. His mercy is great. His forgiveness is great. His treasures are great. So why do you hesitate asking Him? And then finally, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim, this means that we should also acknowledge the greatness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to His slaves. We see that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a letter to the king of Rome, he had written in that letter, "Min Muhammadin Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ila Hiraqla azim ar-Rum," that from Muhammad, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to Hiraql, the king of Rome, azim ar-Rum. So the Prophet ﷺ acknowledged the title that Hiraql had. This means that, you know, when people have been given a certain status by Allah, a certain position by Allah, then we should acknowledge that. You know, if someone's greater than you in knowledge, greater than you in wealth, greater than you in a certain status, then don't pretend like it doesn't exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given preference to some people over others in different ways. So acknowledge that this is the distribution of Allah, right? And we don't get to decide what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to who. Our job is to acknowledge that, to accept the distribution made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim, how is it that we should call upon Allah by this name? This means that in the dua that we make, we should mention the name of Allah al-azim. And that can be in different ways, in different du'as. First of all, we see that this name is mentioned in Ayatul Kursi, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly the one who is ever high, ever great. And when it comes to Ayatul Kursi, then this is something that we have been told to recite after every salah. We have been told to recite in the morning, in the evening, before going to sleep. So we should make a habit, to do that. Secondly, the name Al-Azim, Yes, it occurs in many du'as, but the attribute of azama, of the greatness of Allah, this attribute is mentioned in many du'as. So, for example, in the du'a which, you know, we were supposed to say in the morning and in the evening, the Prophet ﷺ would do that. This is a du'a of protection. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. That, oh Allah, I ask you for afiyah, for well-being, for safety in the world and in the hereafter. And especially these days when we are, living in a lot of fear, for different reasons, especially for our health, for our lives, for the health and safety of our children, our communities, our loved ones. This is a dua that we should regularly make in the morning and in the evening. That, oh Allah, I ask you for protection, for safety in the world and in the hereafter. And you see, when we look at all of these, when we experience these dangers and these risks in our worldly lives, we should think about the difficulties and the dangers that are in the hereafter. So we should ask Allah to protect us here and to protect us there. The dua continues, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dini wa dunyaya wa ahli wa mali. Allahumma astur awrati wa amir rawati. Allahumma ahfazni min bayni yadayya wa min khalfi wa an yamini wa an shimali wa min fawqi wa a'udhu bi'azamatika. It ends with that, oh Allah, I seek refuge in your greatness. An ughtala min tahti. That I am, caused to slip from beneath me. Protect me from beneath me as well. That nothing comes, from the ground that is below me, causing me to be, swallowed in by the earth or fall in. And ya Allah, protect me from all sides, in every way. Then we have another dua, and this is for seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a dua that we should make when we're entering the masjid. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would enter the masjid, he would say, A'udhu billahi al-azim. A'udhu billahi al-azim. I seek refuge with Allah who is al-azim, the one who is ever great. Wa biwajhihi al-kareem wa sultanihi al-qadeem min ash-shaytan al-rajim. You're seeking refuge with Allah against the shaytan. So this is something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say when entering the masjid. Then calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his sifa of azama in ruku', in salah. In ruku', the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to say subhana rabbiyal azim, that glory be to my Lord who is al-azim, the ever great. And also subhana dhil jabarut wal malakut wal kibriya wal azama, that glory be to the one who possesses jabarut, malakut, kibriya and azama. Azama as in greatness. And then we have another dua which is very beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that no Muslim visits another Muslim and says seven times this dua, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure that person. Meaning when you go to visit someone who is unwell, who is sick, then this is a dua that you should make for them. And this is a dua that you should say seven times for them. And what is this dua? أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمُ رَبَّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمُ أَنْ يَشْفِيَكُ. Such a short dua. And it's so easy. And this is a dua that we can learn. And this is something that we should say when we go to visit someone who is not feeling well. And, sometimes what happens is that we go to, see someone who is not feeling well, but then we burden them with questions. Or we tell them scary stories. We tell them about, I heard so-and-so got sick with the same disease and they died. Right? We frighten them. Instead, we should spend that time making dua for them. As'alu Allah al-Azim. I ask Allah, who is al-Azim, the ever-great, who is Rabb al-Arsh al-Azim, who is the Lord of the great throne, an yashfiyak, to cure you. May Allah cure you. May Allah heal you. And say this seven times. Then also in distress, meaning when we are overwhelmed with worry and anxiety, then how is it that we calm ourselves? We calm ourselves by reminding ourselves of the greatness and the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That yes, what I fear is great, but Allah is greater. What I am anxious about is truly worrisome, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim, right? And with His help, with His mercy, inshallah, I will be able to overcome this, right? And this is a dua for distress. This is reported in Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say this, لا إله إلا الله العظيم والحليم. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Allah who is al-azim, the ever great, al-halim, the ever tolerant. لا إله إلا الله رب العرش العظيم. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah who is the Lord of the great throne. لا إله إلا الله رب السماوات والأرض ورب العرش الكريم. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah who is Lord of the skies and the earth and Lord of the noble throne. And then we should also make tasbih. We should glorify Allah with His name Al-Azim. And this can be in different ways. There is that hadith in which we learned that there are two words which are very light upon the tongue, very easy to say. And yet they're very heavy in the scale. And they're very beloved to Ar-Rahman, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these words when you say them. And what are these words? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Glory be to Allah with His praise, and glory be to Allah who is ever great. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. And in other versions, we also learn about subhanallah al-azimi wa bihamdihi. So glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning, in the evening, 100 times, this is something that is a source of forgiveness, and it is also a source of strength, because in life, when we face different challenges, constantly we realize our weakness. Sometimes because of the lack of resources, or because our circumstances are so strenuous, what we are dealing with is something so difficult. So these challenges, sometimes they make us feel extremely weak and sometimes defeated almost. So it is necessary that at these times we uplift ourselves, not by saying that, I'll deal with this myself because I am very capable, or I know how to handle this, right? No, you're not relying upon yourself. You are relying upon the source of strength, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-azim. Now, inshallah, we will look at the name of Allah Al-Majid. The name of Allah Al-Majid means the one who is noble, the one who is glorious. And the name Al-Majid actually occurs two times in the Quran. In Surah Hud, ayah number 73, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the angels who spoke to the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when they gave Sarah the good news that she was going to have a child, and she showed her her surprise that how is that going to be possible when I am, an old woman, my husband is also very old, how am I going to have a child? The angels, they said that, do you wonder at the mercy of Allah? You find the mercy of Allah to be strange? And then they said, Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahl al-bayt. May Allah's mercy and blessings be on you, O people of the house. Innahu hamidun majid. Indeed, Allah is Hamid and He is Majid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hamid, meaning He is praiseworthy, and He is Majid, meaning He is glorious. And He is very generous. Then we see in Surah Al-Buruj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ ذُو الْعَرُشِ الْمَجِيدُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving, He is loving, and He is the owner of the throne, and He is Al-Majid, meaning the one who is glorious. Now we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself as Majid. He describes His book as Majid, and He also describes His arsh, His throne, as Majid. With regard to His book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qaf wal Qur'an al-Majid. Qaf, by the glorious Qur'an. بل هو قرآن مجيد in سورة البروج. Rather, this is a Quran which is majid, which is honorable. And when it comes to the throne of Allah, according to one reading, it is Dhul Arsh al-Majid in Surah Al-Buruj, that he is the possessor of the throne, which is Al-Majidi, yani very glorious. So what is the meaning of the word Majid? Now, Majid is someone who is characterized by Majd, all right? And Majd, which is translated as glory, or honor, or dignity, or nobility, it is said that this is synonymous to Izz as in honor, or sharaf, nobility, karam, sakha, generosity, muru'a, moral goodness. But specifically, majd, it gives the sense of ampleness, right? When something is plentiful, when it is a generous amount. So for example, it is said, majadatil ibil. This is when camels are feeding on plentiful, luscious herbage. There's a lot to pasture on. There's a lot to eat. So majd is not just glory. It is extensiveness in glory. All right. It is ample glory, a lot of honor, a lot of dignity, a lot of nobility. Right. So this is when someone is characterized by many, many great attributes or attributes that reflect honor and dignity. Awsaf al-Kamal, basically. Secondly, we see that the word majd, it also denotes glory that is personal. Okay, personal as in when people are described as dhu majd, for example, when someone is dhu majd, this means that they are noble because of the fact that their ancestors were noble, right? And so that glory was transmitted to them, right, by their ancestors. It's not that, a person had very humble beginnings and that they, worked really hard and then eventually they became successful. No, majd is in a person who is personally, because of who they are, they have glory. Okay, so this is the meaning of majd, glory that is personal. And it is also said that majd is glory because of someone's actions. When they're very generous, then they're defined as majid. So majid is someone who is karimul fi'al, meaning whose actions are very generous, very noble. So when someone's attributes are of glory, extensively, and they are, they possess greatness because of who they are, intrinsically, in and of, because of who they are, and then their actions are also beautiful, then Majid would be someone who is praiseworthy, right? Why praiseworthy? Because of who they are and because of what they do. And they would be beautiful, right? So Ibn al-Qayyim says that the word Majid shows that the one who is described as Majid is beautiful and perfect in and of himself. Why? Because of the actions of generosity and the perfect attributes that they possess. So this is the meaning of the word Majid. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Majid, what does that mean? This means that, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is glorious. Right, it means that he possesses absolute and perfect majd, which means that his attributes are all attributes of perfection. Right, so he possesses every praiseworthy quality to the utmost degree. He possesses every praiseworthy quality to the utmost degree. And that he excels all limitations in everything that is worthy of praise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in every way. He is perfect in all of His attributes. His knowledge is perfect. His power is complete. His wisdom is supreme. His mercy is unfathomable. He is Al-Majid. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Majid, this also means that His actions are all actions of goodness. Because remember that Majid is someone whose actions are good, actions are generous. So He is the one who gives liberally, right? And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Majid, this also means that He is the source of Majd, meaning all worldly glory comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the glory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to His prophets, and even the status of the prophets, that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that status. So when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for example, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made his mention such that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being mentioned and praised all the time in all over the world. So the people who try to dishonor him, they're only humiliating themselves. They're only embarrassing themselves, because no matter what they say, no matter what they do, they cannot dishonor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we learned that the companions, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that how is it that we should send salat on you, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that O you who believe, send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabiy, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi, right? That we should also send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the companions asked him that how do we do that? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you should say Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammadin wa 'ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Notice how it ends with innaka Hamidun Majid, that oh Allah, indeed you are praiseworthy, you are ever noble, meaning you are the source of greatness. So if the prophets of Allah, they have a good mention, right, they are mentioned in good terms, they are praised, then this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave them that status and that glory. Now we see that the name of Allah Al-Majid is mentioned in the Quran with Hamid, right? And even in when we're sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we say innaka Hamidum Majid. Hamidum Majid, why? Because Hamid is one who is praiseworthy, right? And Majid is one who is perfect in himself, in his actions. His actions are good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is glorious in and of himself. And his names, his attributes are all perfect. And at the same time, he is truly praiseworthy, right? He is Hamid because of who he is. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Majid, what are we supposed to do? How is it that we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is Al-Majid? What we need to do is that first and foremost, we should love him with all our heart. We should adore him because of who he is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so, remember Al-Majid, the one who is perfect in all of his attributes, right? His actions are excellent. He is so generous. So we should love him. We should glorify him, right? We should glorify him, praise him, because we are constantly receiving his blessings, and no matter how much we glorify him, he deserves even more praise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that la ilaha illallah, to say la ilaha illallah is the best dhikr. Why? Because when you say la ilaha illallah, what are you doing? You are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are showing that you are saying that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Alhamdulillah is the best dua, it's the best prayer, because you are saying all praise is for Allah. And we learn that when a person you know, praises and glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentions the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is something that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. In a hadith, we learned that once a man was praying and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not hear that man praising and glorifying Allah. يعني لم يمجد الله. He did not glorify Allah, and he did not send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, عجلت أيها المصلي. You have rushed in your prayer, O Musalli. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard another person praying, and that man in his salah, فَمَجَّدَ اللَّهَ وَحَمِدَهُ. The man praised and glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he also sent salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Udu'u tujab." Ask Allah and you will be responded to. Meaning your dua will be responded to. Wasal tu'ta, ask and you will be given. So we should glorify Allah. And you know, when we are praying salah and we're reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, what is it that we are doing? We are glorifying Allah. We learn in a hadith that when a person says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamidani Abdi, that my slave has praised me. When the person says, Maliki Yawmiddin, that Allah is the Malik, the sovereign of the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Majjadani Abdi, that my servant has glorified me, my servant has honored me, meaning with the words that he has used. And then we learn that when people are gathered together and they are remembering Allah and the angels come and surround them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them that what is it that my slaves are doing? And the angels say that they're glorifying you, they're mentioning your greatness, وَيُمَجِّدُونَكْ. They are stating your majd, yani your glory. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them that have they seen me? And the angels say that no, they have not seen you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that what would they do if they were to see me? And the angels say that if they were to see you, then they would worship you. كانوا أشد لك عبادة. And they would be more intense in their worship of you. وَأَشَدَّ لَكَ تَمْجِيدًا وَتَحْمِيدًا. And they would glorify and praise you even more intensely. So this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. We should glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-majid, this means that we should honor and glorify what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored. Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given honor to something, then we should also show honor and respect to it. And first and foremost in this regard is the book of Allah. Yani the Quran is described as a kitab which is majid, a book which is glorious. Yani a book that is of very high status, a book that is filled with goodness. So what is it that we should do? We should show regard to the Quran. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that every individual that deserves respect loves that he is treated with due respect. And indeed, respect for Allah is the Quran. Meaning if you want to show proper respect to Allah, see how you're dealing with the Quran. What kind of respect do you show to the Quran? And this respect, you know, we think that respecting the Quran means, you know, holding the Quran, kissing it, touching our foreheads with it, putting it on a very high shelf. Okay, that may be part of respecting the Quran, but that is not everything. In the Quran, we have been told that when the Quran is being recited, then we should listen attentively to it. We should be quiet at that time, right? What we do is when the Quran is being recited, people will cover their heads, right? And they will go on talking. This is still disrespect to the Quran. That when the Quran is being recited, we need to listen attentively. When we are reciting the Quran ourselves, we should make sure that our mouth is clean. We learn in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Clean your mouths with a siwak, because the mouth is the pathway of the Quran." Yani the mouth should be clean. Brush your teeth before you recite the Quran. Especially, you know, when you're praying Fajr Salah, right? Sometimes people don't brush their teeth before Fajr. They will brush their teeth afterwards. No, clean your mouth thoroughly, properly, before praying Salah. Because your mouth is the pathway of the Quran. So show respect to the Quran by cleaning your mouth. And then sometimes what happens is that people are reciting the Quran and they get a little sleepy and they start yawning. And as they're yawning, they keep reciting the Quran. This is also not respectful. If you're overcome by sleep, you're yawning, then pause your recitation. Suppress the yawn. When the yawn is over, then resume recitation. Also, part of, you know, showing respect to the Quran is that we recite the Quran slowly, you know, carefully, properly, not quickly as if, you know, it were poetry, as if it were a song, or as if it was not worthy of any respect. And one of the companions described this as, you know, as cheap dates are tossed aside. So don't treat the Quran like that, that you're rushing through it as if, you know, its letters don't matter. No, every letter of the Quran matters. And then sometimes what we do is if we have learned a few verses of the Quran, we use them, you know, to argue with people. This is also, you know, disrespectful, that you're using the Quran to refute, you know, other parts of the Quran, or to refute, you know, for example, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This kind of jidal is something that is disrespectful. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Majid, this also means that we should seek glory through Allah, right? And that is by fearing Him, by obeying Him, by seeking His approval. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Majid, then this means that we should also reflect, you know, generosity and goodness in our manners. And then finally, we should also seek high ranks near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Majid, yani He is glorious, He is the giver of greatness, and Jannah, paradise, has many levels. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, you know, that we shouldn't settle with just anything. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for firdaus, because Allah is glorious, He is the giver of glory. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the highest level of paradise. Now, when it comes to making dua to Allah with this name, Al-Majid, then we have many du'as we learn from the Sunnah in which the name Al-Majid is mentioned. And these are du'as in which we are glorifying Allah. And amazingly, many of them are actually in Salah. So the first is that when we begin the Salah, we say Allahu Akbar, we glorify Allah, and we say Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka smuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. You see where we say wa ta'ala jadduka. This means that, Ya Allah, your majesty is truly high, right? Your jadd is truly high. So we should glorify Allah. In Salah, when we say Suratul Fatiha, we should pay attention to every ayah. Maliki yawmiddin, feel the greatness of Allah. Then also when we get up from ruku', we learn the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say at that time, Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd, mil as-samawati wa mil al-ard wa mil ama shi'ta min shay'in ba'du, ahla al-thana'i wal-majd, la mani'a lima a'tayt, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at, wa la yanfa'u dhal-jaddi min kal-jadd. So here we have specifically, أَهْلَ الثَّنَاءِ وَالْمَجْدِ, that, O Allah, You are worthy of praise and glory. So we should glorify Allah. And then at the end of Salah, when we're sending Salat to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we end that with إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. Remind yourself that any glory that any creation has, even the glory given to the prophets, the source of that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after Salah again, We mentioned the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His glory in different ways. And one of them is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi min kal jadd. Meaning, no one who has honor can help against you or can avail against you. If anyone has any honor, any glory, any status, They have it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is ultimately glorious, the one who is truly great and the giver of greatness. So we should seek that from Him. Inshallah, we will conclude over here for today. Jazakumullahu khayran kathira. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.